echte ervaring.
You are listening to That Digital Show, a digital transformation podcast presented by Google Cloud to help organizations grow business value in a digital world. Episode 15, Evolving Healthcare Ecosystems. In this episode, we'll take a look at how organizations can consider ways to use APIs to build healthcare ecosystems that improve patient experience and health while reducing total costs. Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening. I'm Chris Hood, a digital strategist at Google Cloud. And joining me today is Carol Crow. Welcome, Carol.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you for having me on the show again. And we are joined today by two of our experts from our healthcare industry community of practice. Dave?
Hi, my name is Dave Mihai. I'm a solutions architect with Google Cloud and Apigee. And I work with our customers on their API programs. And I work with a lot of healthcare customers specifically on their API programs.
Hi, my name is Gitesh Kohli. I'm a solution architect at Google Cloud. I work on the Apigee product and specifically help customers with their API marketplace stories.
Great. Welcome, everyone. So in our previous episode about APIs in healthcare, we talked about how Google Cloud and Apigee are helping organizations enable data interoperability and provide value-based care, and also how the industry is navigating the CMS and ONC rulings and what that means for healthcare providers who now need to accelerate their digital transformation initiatives. And in both of those episodes, we spent time looking at how organizations need to adapt and how APIs can help them comply with the rulings and fix areas like data interoperability. Today, I wanted to take a slightly different approach. I wanted to hear from everyone about what this actually means to each of us. We're all patients. We all are healthcare customers. So let's start, Carol. You shared a story a few episodes ago about your son, and maybe that's a good starting point for us to better understand the patient experience.
Yes, Chris, I did talk about my son's experience when he had vertigo and actually visiting 50 plus doctors across the country and trying to share the history of his past diagnosis from one doctor to the next. It entailed actually, you know, getting hard copies of each of the office visits as well as lab results, taking that, you know, when we had to travel across country in a suitcase. In fact, I had a carry-on complete with all of the history of the office visits. And then taking that from doctor to doctor, it was really cumbersome and it delayed getting a diagnosis for him. It took probably over a year just to get a diagnosis for his vertigo issue. So, I mean, that was very complex, but I will tell you about a recent experience I had in just trying to get a COVID test. So with the holidays coming up and trying to get family gatherings, I'm very, very concerned about having a large family gathering, even with my own family members. So one of the things we agreed to do prior to the holidays and prior to our family get together is to get COVID tests so that we would all come back, hopefully, with negative COVID tests before our gathering. And just to find the local place to get the COVID test, what's the easier route to do it, and filling out forms was a little bit complex. Thank goodness I'm in California. Santa Clara County actually provides an entire website, which directs me to how to get tested and how to sign up and how to schedule a testing. And it's actually quite user-friendly. So from a patient experience standpoint, I'm pretty impressed with how they have improved that patient experience since the beginning of COVID back in March when we all were sheltered in place. And now to, I guess, 9 months later or 6 months later where things have not changed, but the processes for getting tested and scheduling that test have greatly improved. Having done a couple of COVID tests before, you have many options. You have the option to do a drive-through, you have an option to do a walk-in, or you have an option to actually go into a doctor's office and get fully tested. For me, I have no symptoms. Having the drive-through is probably the easiest and most efficient. So on the website, it actually does give me options for drive-through, walk-in, or in-person office visit. And it tells me the closest location, and it gives me some times that I can schedule. So I've been really impressed with how the government has improved their ability to provide patients like me access to COVID testing.
We've got a lot of different types of healthcare data, and it's supposed to really help, I guess, break down some of the walls, create more transparency for consumers about their data. So, Dave, are we still seeing these data silos within healthcare? And how are we really positioning APIs to help break down some of those silos?
Yeah, yes, I think there's definitely a lot of silos. I think even between providers with their own EMRs or EHRs that they have, they don't talk well, even within the network, or like a hospital system or a provider system. Oftentimes, even within the system, they don't talk well with each other. That's one of the major problems within the industry. And that's what some of our efforts around data interoperability is trying to solve for. So an example is we've worked with recently a consortium of hospitals and providers that even within their system, they weren't able to share data. So if you have three sister hospitals, when a patient goes from one hospital to the other one, their data isn't shared. And those hospitals are on the same EMR system behind the scenes, but even it's the same system, they're not able to share the data. When a patient switches insurance companies and they go from one insurance company to the other insurance company, there's not a way of exchanging that data. So it's still definitely an issue in the industry. And that's where some of the regulations have come in to address that. And with the data interoperability regulations, have attempted to address those problems. So FHIR and SMART and some of those protocols are helping. And APIs become a really important role in that area. And APIs are the way that these providers can share data and how these systems can share data with each other.
I was reading a report and it said that between 2014 and 2018, there was approximately 580 healthcare technology deals within the United States. And each of those was more than 10 million. So that roughly comes out to about 83 billion in value. We start to see where healthcare is actually investing their time and energy. And primarily, this has been in areas of patient engagement, data and analytics, and then new models, new care models. Gitesh, when we start thinking about a marketplace or APIs and ecosystems, how are API marketplaces and ecosystems helping primarily in those three areas?
So let's take a step back and go back to what Carol was talking about scheduling a COVID test. So to schedule a COVID test, what you would probably need is first a scheduling API to figure out if a particular location or a testing location actually has availability. Then there would be an appointment API where you would basically set up the appointment against that location. Also, you would need patient information. So that's where the patient API would be needed. And at the end of all of this, Carol probably wants to be notified when her appointment is scheduled or if there are any other changes. So there probably will be a need for a notification API. So all of this needs someone who, like an application developer, who is developing an app to make this easy for Carol to go and schedule this COVID test, needs access to all of these APIs. So that's where the API marketplace is going to help you, right? I, as an API consumer, would go to that marketplace, look at all the APIs that the healthcare provider is providing, and then I can mix and match and take a bunch of these APIs and create an experience to make Carol's life a little bit easier. Once you have an API management system, what it lets you do and the value in an API management system is the rich analytics that it's going to generate for the API producer or the provider, in our case, the healthcare systems, to actually look at usage patterns and then probably take all that information and create more meaningful APIs, maybe which are very centered around experiences. This also helps API providers to possibly come up with new models. Models could be monetizing a special set of APIs where they see value being brought to the patients.
I think all of that is excellent, especially when I start to think about other ways that we as consumers engage with this data. And when you talk about new business models, we're already seeing that. If you think through where healthcare data is, we have patient-generated clinical data. That could be anything, as you just mentioned, Gitesh, which was, I want to fill out a form. I want to go online and I want to say, I need to take a COVID test. And I fill that out. We have provider-generated data. So now I have a doctor or hospitals or pharmacies that want to either input data or receive data from patients. We have health and well-being data, everything from our Fitbits to blood pressure monitoring to, who knows, we may soon have a way to track COVID from our smartphones directly in our homes one day, maybe. We also have financial data, right? Healthcare insurance, payment methods, and we even have social data. How do we share this with our family contacts? Or maybe we have certain affiliations with various types of organizations, or even as we start to look at ecosystems, ways that we can tie this into other services such as Uber, where I now need transportation services to get to a hospital or something along those lines. So as we start to break all of this down, Dave, how does the healthcare industry make all of this data interoperable while also keeping the patient at the center of that experience?
Yeah, that's a challenge because there's so many types of data and so much data and different types of healthcare systems out there, EMRs, EHRs. But how the industry can do it is they need a way of standardizing on a common data format and a common type of API specification where systems can exchange this data and exchange it through APIs and everyone speaks the same language, so to speak. And the biggest driver that's happening in the industry right now, which is being pushed by the regulations and the government and software companies and other organizations, is the specification called FHIR. And FHIR is a data format, but it's also an API specification. And that allows applications to be able to consume it and to be able to exchange data much easier. And as you mentioned, there's a lot of data there. And as you convert this data to FHIR, how do you keep the patient in the center of the experience? And that's where there's a security protocol called SMART, Smart on FHIR. And that's a security protocol to make sure that the data that the users and patients only see the data that they're supposed to see. And so when you have a patient that's logging into a website or an app or something like that, they're restricted to what they can see. So the patient logs in, they can see their data, their encounters, their claims, explanation of benefits, all that type of things. But it's from their point of view. And once that data is available from the patient's point of view, then the app developers can create these digital experiences like apps that allow the patient to easily interact with the data that's theirs.
So we have all of this data and we have all these different experiences. We've covered a couple. I want to go get a COVID test, or maybe I need to go in and get a flu shot, or maybe I need to go in for my annual exam. And these experiences in terms of how do we interact with our data and how do we get the care that we're looking for? All this comes back to this concept that we've been talking about, which is around building an ecosystem. So back to Gitesh, how does an API marketplace help build these experiences?
I believe that making your APIs public and putting them in a marketplace can help you innovate in ways that maybe you as an organization are not thinking. So say I'm an app developer, I'm reading through API documentation on your API marketplace, and I come across an interesting API and possibly have an idea for building an app. The ability to publicly view documentation opens up a whole new spectrum of our developer community that you did not have access to. Most of your internal developers are going to be focused on making your data accessible, available for systems that you probably built in-house. But if you put them on a marketplace, what you will unlock is a potential for external third-party developers or even your external partners to find meaningful or interesting new ways of building applications for your patients.
Then how do you make all of this secure, though? I think it's a great idea. We publish the APIs. Developers come in. They have a really cool idea, and they want to build this idea. Say it's a smart home COVID testing service for my smartphone. But, you know, those APIs have data in it, and I'm sure that most of the healthcare providers, the first thing they're going to say is, yeah, but that's not secure. I'm not going to release all of this data out to the world to be able to use and access my APIs. How does the marketplace help with that as well?
That's a great question, right? How do you secure all your APIs? So what typically we've seen customers do is use OAuth. What OAuth lets you do is lets a patient decide what level of access an app is granted. So just think of it like the Google login piece, right? Say, when you do use sign in with Google, it lets you choose what scopes you are allowing that particular application to access on your behalf. Also, having an API management system lets the providers set up these rules or set up these access mechanisms in place so that every API that is exposed through the platform is secured in a similar fashion across the organization.
So Kadesh, that's great in having an API marketplace that is providing APIs to external developers and partners. But there's also an advantage of having an API marketplace for internal developers as a place that holds all of the APIs across their enterprise and a way for internal developers to discover what's available in-house so that they can prevent duplicates of APIs, so they can take advantage of some reusability of those APIs and ultimately provide more efficiency for the developers across the healthcare enterprise to be able to improve the speed of innovation for time to market.
Definitely. What we're trying to do is break silos within an organization, making an API and making actually data more accessible. So that's definitely a lot of our customers use this for exposing APIs within the organization.
Now, when we look at this at a high level and we try to break it down, what is a clear strategic path that the healthcare industry needs to understand when it comes to ecosystems?
When a healthcare organization is looking at their strategy, there's several things that they need to consider. And they need to think about a couple of things. One is it's a business decision. How do they improve their business? How do they compete in the industry? How can they provide better patient experience? These are part of what the ecosystem can bring to the table. And it really factors into their digital transformation efforts and their digital transformation story. Now, one of the things they'll have to think about is, do they start their own ecosystem or are they going to join an existing ecosystem? And in several cases, it may be both. Maybe an organization starts by joining one and they want to create their own for their own set of, say, providers or other partners that they have. When you start talking about building ecosystems and creating ecosystems, one of the key points of that is APIs. And that is how data is exchanged between organizations. And part of an ecosystem, there's many different players, and especially in healthcare, you have the providers and the payers, and you have third-party applications. And so organization would want an API marketplace to be able to highlight their efforts of the ecosystem and what APIs do they have to contribute to the ecosystem. Another strength of the ecosystem is to be able to talk the same language, so to speak. So by supporting FHIR and Smart on FHIR and some of these common data formats and protocols, allows that ecosystem to grow and allows new players to plug into that ecosystem much easier. Yep. Another thing to look at is an outside-in approach. The ecosystem has to benefit others in the ecosystem. And when organizations join an ecosystem or put out their APIs out there, they want to look at it from an outside-in approach. And how can developers easily consume these APIs? What are developers looking for? What kind of data are patients looking for that people can build apps for?
Gitesh, when we start looking at the technology capabilities or maybe operating models that organizations need, what do we think about?
I believe for an ecosystem to prosper is the API marketplace. Ability to evangelize your APIs and make it available, that's extremely important. All of this is only possible having an API strategy and an API management platform like Apigee, which lets you build your APIs and not have to worry about the details of how you're going to figure out the authorization model, how you're going to capture analytics, because that's what the Apigee API platform does for you out of the box.
I think it's now time for our question of the day. Okay, here's our question of the day. Hi, Chris. I'm a product owner at a large hospital, and although we understand the need to support our customers, our teams are often focused on the back-end systems and services we have in place to determine what products we build. What is the best way to get our teams developing new customer experiences? So this sounds like some of the things we've already been discussing in terms of having this outside-in perspective of new products and services, and also some of the technologies that we need, like marketplace to help drive innovation within healthcare. Let's go around the room. Carol, what are your thoughts?
So, Chris, love that you talked about an outside-in perspective because, you know, as digital strategists, we always want that outside-in perspective to ensure that customer experiences are at the forefront and those that are providing the customer experiences are enabled to do so. And as Dave and Gitesh mentioned, having the ecosystem in place in order to provide that experience to the application developer, also known as the API consumer, is really important. The API marketplace, obviously giving them the ability to discover the APIs, be able to read about how to use them, and even be able to test them is hugely important to that developer experiences. And so having that in play as part of your ecosystem strategy is going to be super important to be able to enable the application developer to be able to innovate quickly. So in addition to having an API marketplace that your application developers can go to discover those APIs, it's really important that those developers really understand the experience that they're trying to provide to the patient. So when we take the example of just scheduling a COVID test, something as simple as that, what is going to make the patient's life easier in order to schedule that COVID test? That is a mentality that the application developers are going to need to acquire in order to make great experiences for the patient and for the customer.
Gitesh, how does a marketplace help drive an outside-in perspective?
So product managers within an organization are geared towards thinking in terms of internal terminologies and internal processes. So we as API providers probably think of our APIs in a manner that we're used to, right? When you put your APIs on an API marketplace and you have a thriving community that actually is utilizing your APIs, you should probably engage with your consumer community or your API community to hear about what they expect from you as a provider. They might have ideas that are floated around in the community or maybe in their forums or maybe they're sending you emails. You should definitely take those and try to see if you can build an API experience which is more centered around a particular use case.
Dave?
So yeah, I agree with Carol and Gitesh on the outside-in approach in the marketplace. But I do want to address one part of your question, referring more to the back-end systems and services. So when we take a look at your classic IT department and manager who is working at a large hospital, they're spending a lot of time supporting their existing systems and existing legacy systems. And to get to this new world where they're able to transform their data into FHIR and be able to deliver that data through APIs is quite a stretch for many organizations. Some organizations are there or very close to being there, and they can do it fairly easy, but some aren't. And there's quite a bit of an effort to take these legacy systems and take that data and put it into a common format like FHIR and to be able to deliver it through APIs. One of the things that at least Google Cloud can help with is offering a managed service with healthcare API. And we have libraries and systems out there to help transform the data, but also to be able to store that data into FHIR and to be able to easily transport it around the organization, whether it's internally to other systems and internal apps or externally to partners. And that's all delivered through APIs. So these are some of the ways that developers at organizations can help build these new customer experiences by getting their backend systems or backend data in a format that can be easily delivered.
Yeah, I think part of the answer to the question of the day is that we have to understand everyone on your team and everyone of us is also a customer. What are their expectations? They're not going to be any different than your expectations. Every time you go in for hopefully not a COVID test, but every time you go in for some type of procedure, some type of service, you have a set of expectations that you've already thought about. And the key here is to begin thinking like your patients. And then they can start to design and develop APIs that will facilitate those needs or expectations and follow the patient through their entire digital health journey. And then when we get to the marketplace, building an open, robust API marketplace will allow others then to connect with you, to expand the reach of your services and help you create the digital experiences that patients and your customers are expecting. If you've ever sat in a doctor's office and filled out paperwork, I'm sure everyone is sitting here thinking, why isn't this data traveling with me? Why don't they just have access to my records? And those APIs, once available and exposed in a marketplace, can unlock the potential for all of the healthcare providers to create really incredible experiences. And as we've been talking about, through Apigee, you can create those marketplaces to then build upon and create these digital experiences from the outside in. Thank you all for participating. It's been a privilege having you and love hearing your insights.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris.
Thanks, Chris, for having us.
And thanks to all of you who are listening. If you would like to learn more about the show or get more information about Healthcare APIX and the CMS ONC guidelines, visit thatdigitalshow.com and, of course, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform. If you have questions, comments, or ideas for the show, connect with us throughout social media and join us next week as we explore another digital transformation topic on That Digital Show. Thanks for listening.